All right, if you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to continue on our mini-series going through the book of 1 Corinthians on spiritual gifts. I'm calling this mini-series within the overall series of 1 Corinthians, calling it spiritual gifts. Please stand with me if you're able to. We're going to start picking up in our reading at verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit." Verse 9 says, "To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit." Father in heaven, we ask that you please help us to understand your word. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not just knowledge. We don't come together just to worship you intellectually with our minds, but you say to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. We don't want to get caught up and just stuck in intellectualism like a modern day Sadducee. But Lord, we want to come to you and ask that you would please minister to us. Jesus, we thank you that you came to heal the brokenhearted. You're God who heals. You're still Jehovah Rapha today. Minister to us. And today, Lord, stir us up. Do your work here. We gather as a body of Christ in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, our Savior, our Lord. Empower us, equip us. Do a healing, cleansing work that only you can do today. For we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You guys can have a seat if you would. Now, there's an Old Testament picture that I've loved. It could show you and I pictures of serving God with spiritual gifts. Mr. Andy's going through Hebrews chapter 9. He's coming on Wednesdays. And I love that book. So he's discussing about and teaching about the sanctuary, like the tabernacle. This is my personal favorite thing to study in the Old Testament. And when you study how the priests would minister in the sanctuary, that's what we call this place, and we conform or transform it into a sanctuary, a holy place. It's a Jewish term. It comes by studying the tabernacle in the book of Exodus, or the temple at the time of the temples. And you see this picture, and here's the crazy thing with that. The priest's hands would have to touch items of pure gold in the sanctuary when they got the work of the ministry done. They had to. They couldn't just bring in their own thing. Oh, you know, I bought up the scooper at home. I could bring that in. I got a better one. I know how to make it better. We had to, or they had to in the Old Testament time as priests, they had to use these items with their hands that were made of solid gold. And when you're studying the metals at the time of the tabernacle, the metal gold is symbolic of what? Who remembers that? God. It's symbolic of God or deity. Andy's teaching that also. So he's going through that in the book of Hebrews. So the priests, in order to get the work of the ministry done, their hands had to touch these implements, these instruments of gold. And I'm going to display this here on the display. Josh, you might have to click through. I can't click for some reason. There we go. Thank you. So Exodus 25, you could study the whole chapter later on. I just pulled a snippet from here. But in Exodus 25, God describes this thing called the golden lampstand. It's this item is pure gold, solid gold. It stood about the height of a man. And here's what it says in Exodus 25. It's on the display also. "And its wick trimmers and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made of a talent of pure gold with all these utensils." So the priests would have to do the regular daily ministrations. Every morning, they would come in. They would trim the wicks that went out through the night. They'd stay on fire. And this golden lampstand would be the only artificial light source within the tabernacle itself. So it was a dark tent. Wasn't very big. It's only about the size of, you know, this room maybe. Not very big. And it did not have light. It had this one thing called the golden lampstand. has seven branches. So it's like, imagine, like seven candles. And you would light it. They would, the priests would light every morning and every evening. Those we might call the regular daily ministrations. The priests had to. So get this picture. It's like you and I waking up in the morning as a priest in this new covenant priesthood. I think of this many times. Lord, I'm coming into the sanctuary, your holy place, not the one here I made on earth with human hands, but into heaven. I'm into your presence, Lord. You invite me and you say, boldly come to your throne of grace. And I'm here and, oh, Lord, those lights. How many of you are like this? You feel like you got in the flesh overnight. You were in the spirit like, oh, I'm on fire for you, Jesus. You wake up and, I don't even want to get out of bed. Anybody ever like that? Okay, a couple of us admit it. We're all like that, right? So you get a picture of that. So the priest would go in with these golden snippers and snuffers. So they'd snuff out the candles, and you had to put a new wick in or cut them. Golden, it's like scissors. But these items that the priest touched, their hands would only touch items, instruments of pure gold. What I'm getting at, guys, is that's a picture in the Old Testament of, hey, us in this new covenant time where you and I are priests. I put it up here in this new covenant. As priests in this new covenant time, you and I get to use spiritual gifts. The things that you and I touch or get a hold of, they are also pure gold, or we might say, they come from God. They emanate from God. They're supernatural spiritual gifts that you put your hand to so that as you do the work of the ministry in this sanctuary, in this holy place, they come from God. I can't just go, oh, you know what? I bought this one on eBay. This thing's way better. You got to go. This one's, you don't understand. Steel is better. It's not going to bend like gold. That's like a picture of the flesh, doing ministry in the flesh, doing it my way, not his way. And we can't do that, amen? So I love that picture. And as you and I continue on our study of the spiritual gifts, today we're going to look at, as we see here again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this gift. Notice it says in verse 9, and it's written in the plural, gifts, plural, of healings, plural. We're going to look at what the book says, and hopefully we can pray for you. I prayed, God, bring people in that need healing. Maybe it's a physical healing. Chances are virtually all of us need heart healing, emotional healing, maybe mental healing things where Jesus wants to take us not to be conformed to the world, Romans 12, but be what? Transformed. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. He wants to change your thoughts. Sometimes our thoughts are in the gutter still, right? The things of the flesh. So if that's you, then praise God. He brought you in, and we can pray for you. So all throughout the Bible, though, God is telling us that he's a God who heals. You'll find this in Exodus 15. After God delivers them, Exodus 15, God trashes Pharaoh's army. They're like, woohoo, the Bible's very first praise song is Exodus 15. That's where we wrote that song, Glorious in Holiness. And then shortly after that, they're complaining to God. And then right here, Exodus 15, verse 26 at the end, here's what God says. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. I am Jehovah Rapha. Anybody hear of that term, that name, Jehovah Rapha? This is where that comes from. Exodus 15, verse 26. It means the Lord who heals you. Jehovah, God himself, Rapha. He's the Lord. He's the God who heals. And they just came out of Egypt. So they remember all those plagues. Imagine, ladies, you go to bed at night. You know, ribbit, ribbit. Ooh, what is that, honey? Ooh, this slimy thing like, crawling up, jumping around in bed with me. You got frogs. You got all kinds of boils from head to toe. Who wants that? That's a picture of Egypt, which is a picture of the what? The world. Okay. Anyhow, continuing on, all throughout the Bible, also in Psalm 103, David wrote in verse 3 about this God of the Bible, this Jehovah Rapha, says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. God can heal diseases. Can't he? Can he? Yes, he's Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord, he doesn't change. He doesn't change his mind either. So he's a God that will heal. In the New Testament, moving into the New Covenant time that you and I live in now, here's what it says in James. James 5, verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, I color-coded this, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So all throughout the Bible, God's telling us that he's a God that heals. And even the New Testament, yeah, we come to him and we pray. But also, prepare your heart, because God willing, maybe we can do James 5 later on. Like Jose, I think he's with the kids right now, like he's exhorting us, right? We need to be doers of God's word, not just readers or hearers only, what, deceiving ourselves. Maybe God brought someone in here to be prayed for. So as you and I continue on in our study on the spiritual gifts, we're going to look a little bit, I'm getting ahead of myself, I'll leave it there. We're going to look at a little bit of this thing called the gifts of healing. So what is it? Gifts of healings. Notice, again, just look in your Bible, it's written in a plural. Gifts of healings. It's a supernatural working of God's Spirit. It's a supernatural working. It's not just in the natural. So some today would say, oh, God's given doctors and the healthcare industry gifts of healings. Not necessarily so, because these are considered and classified supernatural spiritual gifts. He's given people wisdom to understand, right? And technology where we could peek into the body, things like that. But these are supernatural workings of God's Spirit. And hey, when Jesus was here, did he heal people? He did, didn't he? He did a lot of healing. Did he heal everybody, though? No. And some people say, and I'm not one of those that leans way on that side, like, Jesus was going to heal everybody. No. Remember, there's a time he went to the Pool of Bethesda. He told the guy, do you want to be healed? The guy starts arguing with Jesus. And if you ever seen, everybody see that series Chosen? They played that one. I was like, oh, just about every episode I'm crying. that was another one too. But he goes to this guy, you want to be healed? The guy's like arguing with, how can I do it? Everybody's got excuses. Well, did Jesus heal the hundreds that were perhaps around? No, he targets one guy. So Jesus can heal, but he didn't physically heal everybody the time of his earthly ministry. So don't get fooled. Some people say he heals everybody. No, much of that in what we call the New Testament was proof that he was Messiah that came on the scene. Because the Messiah was going to do those kind of things. Raise dead, he did that. Heal people, he did those things. Okay, so he didn't physically heal everybody. And even I just want to say today, right here now, if you and I pray for people for physical healing, can he heal today? I believe he can. Or else why pray for people, right? He who comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You want to pray for people. Pray for them to be healed. But you pray, and then you just do your best, and then commit the rest unto the Lord. Amen? If God heals them, he heals them. If he doesn't, it's not like, oh, I should have prayed in King James English. Oh, it's not predicated upon you. It's based upon the God who's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Amen? But you and I should still pray. So gifts of healings. Now, if you're here in chapter 12, I want you to see a couple verses. This phrase, gifts of healings, is only mentioned in the entire Bible three times. And they're all here in chapter 12. Check this out. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 that we just read, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Also in chapter 12, look towards the end of the chapter, verse 28. Says, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And go down to verse 30. Do all have gifts of healings? No, obviously. So Paul is asking a rhetorical question. Who was given this gift? Do all have it? No. That's also fiction, fable, fairy tale, for someone to say, every Christian has every gift. Anybody ever hear that? That's not the Bible. That's fiction. Do all have gifts of healings? And you can read at the end of the chapter, there's a bunch of verses that mention these things. Not every Christian is given every spiritual gift. Okay, so it's a rhetorical question though, that Paul's asking. So who is given this gifts of healings? Some. He says to another. One's given this, to another that. Can they exist today? I believe so. However, some might say, even Pastor Chuck Smith Sr., who was the one that God used to start up the Calvary Chapel movement. I listened to what he had to say. He had a bunch of teachings on him. Like, interesting from his perspective. He's now passed on and gone home to glory. He's with the Lord. He went home ahead of us. But he even shares how this gift, called in verse 9, gifts of healings, as well as the next one in verse 10, working of miracles, these most likely are in existence today, but perhaps it's just tough for us to have. Or some places on the planet, you might see it's more needed, perhaps. Do they exist today? I believe so. We just don't see it to happen too much. I want to see like the Book of Acts here in New York City, in Queens and Brooklyn, all over New York City. Who else wants to see that? Okay, I want to see that. But let's make it biblical, because there's a lot of people that, yes, and I don't want to just go crazy with the gifts. Let's make sure there's a biblical balance. Amen? That's where Calvary Chapel is. We believe in the Spirit. He hasn't died. Third person, the Holy Trinity, has not died. God hasn't died. It's like the movie, God's Not Dead. However, as we do believe the gifts of the Spirit, we need to, at the end of this passage that speaks on the gifts, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, let everything be done decently and in order. Amen? Let's not forget that verse. All right, so are gifts of healing still in use today? Now, some call the gifts of healings a sign gift, just like miracles or tongues or interpretation of tongues. Has anybody heard of that? It's a sign gift. It was a sign needed at the time of the apostles, not needed today. Phooey. Say, just like the time of Jesus in the New Testament, there were Sadducees, those that maybe were, forgive me, okay, it's just my thought here, maybe a little dry in their theology. Sadducees, they didn't believe in what? They didn't believe in spirits, whether the Holy Spirit or their spirit. They didn't believe in what else? They didn't believe in resurrection. So after Jesus resurrected, do you think they believed the testimony? No. They didn't believe in angels. You might look at that and go, wait a second, the high priest was a Sadducee. It's almost like they were atheists. Secular humanism. You die and what happens? You're just dead. There's nothing after. No life after death. What? And they believed in the Bible, in Torah at that time? Kind of-ish, but not. So let's not be like that today, where we have the Bible and we're studying God and we want to worship Him just intellectually. I can fall to that, and I got to be careful. I almost did. There's a whole side of Christendom that is on the side of intellectualism, where if you can't prove to me that God exists or that these gifts are working today, they put the burden of proof on you. No, the burden of proof is on them. I just have to believe the Bible. Amen? Okay? So are these gifts in existence? There are some that say they ceased. We might call that group of people cessationist. Calvary Chapel definitely is not cessationist. Cessationists would say that these gifts ceased to exist after the apostles died out and after the Word of God, after the Bible is put together. Gifts like tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles, gifts of healings. We believe they're still in existence. Do we see them in every Christian? No. Do I want to see them at work? Yes. I think we all do. Well, I want to see the supernatural spiritual work of God in and through you and I. It's up to the Lord if He wants to do it. But I believe that God, His word is the word of truth. And He says it, I just need to believe it. Amen? It's truth. All right. So some won't believe that the gift called gifts of healings is available today. They would call it a sign gift, that it died out. That's the intellectual crowd. Because it sounds intellectual to say, oh, I don't see it. Now, I used to fall to that. Used to. Praise God that He rescued me from that. But to some people, it sounds intellectual, it sounds logical, it sounds rational, that God is not going to work that way. And some of them, they don't want to see it at work. Their prayer life is probably dead. Their walk is probably dead, just like a Sadducee. They believe it just because they read it in the Bible. But God says to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? With the word of truth, with the Bible, but also I need to love the Lord your God, not with just my mind only, intellectual. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, the inner person. I like how he says that first. For me, that's tougher. For me, it's tougher just to worship him. I could study. He's taught me how to do that. I could dig into the original language, bring the nuggets forth to you guys. But my challenge, just like it might be for some of you, I need to also worship him in spirit, not just in truth. Amen? All right, so we need to do that. So according to God's word, gifts of healings can still be at work today. Don't let anybody lie to you, telling you that the word of truth says that they have ceased. And they'll even quote these verses. They'll quote chapter 13. They're taking it out of context. I think they fall to intellectualism. How do I think that and know that? Because I did. I almost kind of, stayed stuck there. Just because someone has a doctor behind their name or is real brilliant in their teaching, their blogs or videos, does not mean necessarily that they're smarter than God. Amen? So if you see a miracle take place, wow, how did you get saved? I don't know. Salvation's a miracle, isn't it? Didn't Jesus kind of equate it as such? Yeah, you know that the wind exists. Who knows that the wind exists? We all know that the wind exists. Can you see the wind? You don't know where it starts and where it goes. But you know it exists. You can see the effect of it. The wind can rage up and throw something very small through a window, and it's like a bullet. That's the effect and the power of the wind. But can you see the wind? No. But you can tell, you could test the effect of it. That's the analogy that Jesus gives, just like the wind. So the Spirit of God is a supernatural, he's a supernatural way that he works through our lives. We know that he exists. We know that his word is true. We can't just say that, okay, it doesn't exist because I refuse, because it's not intellectual, it's not rational, it's not logical. Anybody else like that? I'm one of those people. I'm a highly analytical, ex-computer geek, analyst. I can analyze myself to death. I can analyze myself out of faith if I'm not careful. How do you prove the existence of God? You can't with just your words. You can through his word and through seeing a change transform life. Amen? So worship him in spirit and in truth. We'll continue on. So I want to share this slide with you. This is from a website. Now, I do want to say this with a caveat. Gotquestions.org. Great place to go. Even a lot of Calvary Chapel pastors, including me, might refer people to it. But with a caveat that they do lie on the more cessationist side. Okay? I don't know the background. Maybe Baptist or something. But here's what they say on one of their pages. Spiritual gifts are powers, skills, abilities, or knowledge given by God through the Holy Spirit to Christians. Paul tells the church that the purpose of the spiritual gifts is to edify other believers and ultimately to glorify God. God gives these gifts for his use, but in the Corinthian church, they were apparently a type of status symbol or being used to indicate superiority. Interestingly, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9 refers to, quote, gifts of healing in the plural, which are correct, which may indicate that there are different gifts of healing. The gifts of healing could mean a very wide range of skills or abilities. This could be from the power to do miraculous or dramatic healing, like making the lame walk, or the use or understanding of medicine, which I believe they're wrong there because that's not spiritual, supernatural. Someone unsaved, as a medical doctor, could read a book and then apply medicine. That doesn't mean they have a supernatural spiritual gift of healing. Does that make sense? Okay? So I believe that statement's false. Why they published that, I don't know, but I put that in the footnotes here and I want to let you know. It could even be the abilities to empathize and show love to others to the point of healing an emotional wound. So again, I put the source. You can search for that on the internet. They have a page called Gift of Healing. But again, the Got Questions website. It leans towards a cessationist view. I wanted to just show you what another approach, which what they have to say, how they view it. I do like what they have to say. I do want to say this. I do like what they have to say about a lot of things about the Bible, a lot of other questions. However, when it comes to gifts of the Spirit, definitely not Calvary Chapel. Calvary Chapel is not cessationist. We would be in the what we call continuationist camp. Okay, and again, I put up here the use or understanding of medicine is not a supernatural gift. I don't know. They got to fire the editor or maybe change that or something. So anyhow, I do want to say though that along with this thought about God's healings, they're not only limited to physical healings. Now Isaiah prophesied about this. You guys hear me this quote this all the time, including this morning. Oh, do I not have it up here? All right, so I'm just going to read it to you. Isaiah 61. Josh, I'm not sure if that's on a different slide, but Isaiah 61, you could turn there. We looked at this earlier in the servants meeting time. You know, it's getting like, do you know how to turn on the AC? Maybe a little bit. Is it like too stuffy or too hot in here for some of you guys? Yeah, this is like the time of year it gets tough because it gets to be a bit stuffy and humid. So Isaiah 61, verse 1. Oh, there we go. Thank you, Josh. Isaiah prophesied, thanks, Andy, about the Messiah to come. Isaiah wrote this in what we call Isaiah 61, verse 1. You can see on the display. Now, when in the book of Luke, when Jesus started his earthly ministry, he went through what we call the temptation of Christ. The Spirit of God led him out in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after that temptation, then he started his earthly ministry. He got baptized, was tempted, and then he started his earthly ministry. So Luke records in his book, I think it's chapter 4, of the very start of the earthly ministry of Jesus. And Jesus would, as was his common thing, he was a good Jewish boy, so you'd see him in synagogue all the time. He went in. And as they would unroll the scroll, they happened to be here in this chapter in Isaiah 61. So they read this, he closed the book, and here's what he read. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I highlighted that part. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. So after Jesus was there and they read that, he read this, I believe it was, in Luke's gospel, they closed the scroll and he told the crowd, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. Anybody remember that? Okay, and they were like looking at his gracious words that were falling from his lips and they started to realize, wait a second, that's a messianic passage, this is fulfilled. Uh-oh, you're claiming to be Messiah, and we know you. We grew up with you. You grew up with us. And they wouldn't receive his words. So they went from wondering about his gracious words to wanting to throw him off a cliff. Anybody think that was kind of crazy? Okay, so that was the very start of the earthly ministry of Jesus. But one thing I want to draw your attention to is the fact that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. So this is a prophecy of Messiah to come. Also, we can learn that Jesus didn't just come to heal physically, and that's important. It's extremely important. We often don't talk about this much in the New Testament church, let me just say, or in our churches that I've experienced. It's not common, because today in America, when we talk about healing, a lot of people, they think of guys like Benny Hinn, just slap the head, fall down. I'm telling you that straight up, that's fake. That's false. How do you say false? Falsetta prophetas? Those are false prophets. Okay, that's proof that the Bible is true. By the way, when people came upon Jesus, like in the Garden of Gethsemane, you see Judas Iscariot coming to take him. Who are you here for? Jesus Nazareth. And what does Jesus say in response? I am. Okay, revealing himself as the I am, the God of the Bible, the burning bush. And what did they do, including Judas Iscariot? Unbelievers, non-believers fall backwards. You get that? In the Bible. Be wary of that. Unbelievers, just like Judas Iscariot, is I wish I would have seen that on video. No YouTube video of that. Jesus reveals himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. I am. Boom. They all fell backwards, including Judas Iscariot. Believers in the Bible fall forward when upon the presence of God. That's interesting. Okay, just a little tidbit of thought. So next time some false prophet tries to tell you, slap the head, fall down, usually that's fake. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody else know that's all over New York City? Okay, there's a lot of false prophets in New York City. Many false prophets have gone out in the world. Got to be careful. All right, so Jesus isn't talking just about physical healing here in verse 1. Do know that he came to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Can't say that enough. So we're just about at 12. Josh, as I told you earlier, can you go ahead and stop the live stream? I want to continue teaching and sharing something, but something I just want to make the determination at this point in time. Something I want to, at this part, I want to address with my church family here. This is for you. So sorry if you guys are still online, coming in. Okay, so this part is something I want to address with you guys. And by the way, we'll have to kind of see how the temperature is. I see people kind of getting a little cold here. Anybody too cold now? Okay. The live streaming stopped, so thank you. If you guys need to get up or whatever, don't feel like, oh no, I'm going to be on camera. So I want to address something here, and then Josh, you might need to, there we go. Okay. Something that, again, thank you for the servants. I emailed you guys that are on the servant team about this to pray for me because of this. I wanted to be able to address this. Now, I have found that in Jesus coming to heal the brokenhearted, that for us as adults is virtually 100.000% of every Christian I come across, including pastors, people that are involved in ministry. That many of us, we grow up with familial issues. Listen to that word, that term, familial, family-based issues. And I want to just quickly share with you something. I remember sharing this a couple times with you guys here, but this might minister to someone here. So for myself, I grew up in a broken family. I didn't have dad around. Like I shared with the servant team this morning, I grew up thinking my dad wanted us to just die off and go away. He divorced my mom when I was like 2 or 3. And we all have a need for love and a need for dad in our lives. Amen? Any of you guys know that? If you don't know that, you need to know this because it's already affected you and society. Satan knows that. So he's targeting the men, targeting the dads. We got to be careful of that. So I grew up, and here's how I thought. I thought that I was abandoned. I remember in sunny Orange County, California, growing up. As a kid, I was born 1968, so in the 1970s, in the suburbs there, in a nice area, we had a big house. It was a 5-bedroom, 2-story house, very large house. The back of the house, behind our backyard, was this huge golf course, Los Alamitos Navy Golf Course. So I lived on the edge of Orange County. Right behind, literally behind my house, was the was LA County. And that was a golf course that Tiger Woods grew up playing on every day. And I can see why, because it's a very nice golf course. Very nice area. 2-car garage, 3 bathrooms, no air conditioning. I remember this growing up. Our air conditioning, we'd open up. I'd tell my sister Jill, because she slept upstairs, Jill, open the windows and the doors. So she opened up. We'd open up the garage, just the pressure of the house to bring this air through. This old school air conditioning. You open up the windows and it went through. Anybody else grow up like that? Okay, so you know, you come like, oh, okay, we have air conditioning here. So anyhow, I remember growing up feeling this way, feeling like I was abandoned. And I remember my youngest prayers. If I could take you into my little room, little 10-foot by 10-foot room, I think it was, I'd be kneeling down. This is my earliest memory of me praying. Why did I have to have him for a dad? Because when I grew up, I didn't hear of other families that were divorced. I was the only kid I knew amongst all my other friends on the street and even at school that didn't have a dad. And it kind of left me feeling kind of weird. At least that's where I was. And I knew that God used that time to bring me where I am now. But I grew up thinking that my dad hated me, that he rejected me. My mom probably should have told us this, but me and my sister Jill, he told us that as if he wanted us just to die off and go away, because he didn't want to pay child support. He would, like, yell at my mom. Today, you know, like, no, you deadbeat dad. You're going to go to prison. People are going to beat you up. That's what happens to dads today. Back then, it was like, a thing of prize or something. It was just, I don't know what it was. It was weird. But I was that kid that grew up like that. And so as the Lord raised me up and healed me and discipled me, and I'm telling you, this is a thing of healing. I did not know what he did until he showed me in the Bible. And I praise God where his word gives us clarity. Okay, and it works this way, in this fashion, in this progression. Truth, clarity, closure. You see what the word of truth says so that you could figure out what's a lie and what's true. And now you have clarity so that you can get healing and have closure. Truth, clarity, closure. Repeat after me, would you? Truth, clarity, closure. So if you're wondering, how is it going to work in my life? God's Spirit's going to use his word, and the Spirit of truth is going to show you the word of truth. So you know what happened, and now you can figure out, and you're going to get clarity, so now you can have closure. That's why you and I don't get healed many times. We're talking about heart healing or even mental type of healing issues. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew 3. And again, we're still talking about healing issues, but you know, I praise my God, and I thank you guys, the servant team. So over 20 of you guys are serving, I think, and I thank you because I emailed out, asked you guys to pray for me. And this is why, is because the teacher in me wants to just run through this. But the pastor in me, the under-shepherd under Jesus, the good shepherd, wants to tend to things because I believe many of you still have heart healing issues, no matter what they are. So here's what it says in Matthew 3. You can see on the display also, this is the baptism of Jesus. Right before he goes out to be tempted, you see what I would call this a picture of perfect family. You see the Heavenly Father showing up at the baptism of Jesus. Matthew 3, verse 17. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So I call this perfect family. Why? Because you get an example, a picture, one of the only ones in the entire Bible where the Heavenly Father and the Son, Jesus, they're showing you their dynamic of talking. Okay? How is it that I need to communicate to my family, to you, to his family, the family of God, and to other people? Now, if this is perfect, because God is perfect, amen? The Heavenly Father is perfect, amen? Jesus, the Son, is perfect, amen? Everything they show you and I of what the Bible says and how they interacted, this is what I call perfect family. So not that you and I could ever be perfect, but he's showing you a glimpse into perfection. Therefore, this is proper theology. Understand who God is, and now you know who you are in the realm of things, because who he is going to define who you are and what might need to be healed that's broken. Amen? So you and I see the fact that the Heavenly Father says these things. And if you pick this out, some of you guys have sat through this teaching before, so bear with me here. Thank you for your grace. This speaks of three things. Notice that the Father says to the Son, you're my beloved. I wanted to hear that from my dad. I wanted to know that I was his son. Not just that we shared DNA, not just that I got his last name. By the way, I thought he had a cooler name. His middle name was Akira. I'm like, that's a cool name. Sydney Akira Segal. My middle name's Hideo. And you grow up, your friend's like, hideous, hide. You're like, cause, you know, white, grow up with these all these like, white kids, you know, in a mixed environment in California. Like, they don't understand. I'm like, what? I have this name. Who named me that? So my dad had even a cool name, Akira. I thought that was a cool name. I'm like, why'd you give me this weird middle name? Funny, it's not weird. And then you hear of, like, was that guy in baseball? No, right? It's like he kind of put it on the board. It's like, and then people are like, hey, you got that middle name. I'm like, why wasn't that around when I was a kid? So you've got this thing where the Father says to the Son, you're mine. It's ownership. So the Son obviously knew he belonged to the Father. He knew that. Did the Father have to say that to the Son? No. Did the son have to hear that? No. But so you and I could get a glimpse into perfection and what most likely is broken in your heart and life, God gives you a glimpse into this. I just call it perfect family. And he says, you're beloved. You're my beloved. No, this is a big one. Now, I knew these things existed even before when I met and married my bride, Susan. I even asked her, because I realized, wow, we got some homework to do, sweetie. I asked her, some of you girls know her testimony, how many times did your mom and dad say I love you to her? How many times was that, sweetheart? Zero. I'll give it to you in Espanol. Cero. Nada. But you and I know you need to hear that. Amen? The kids need to hear the parents, especially the dad. This is an earthly father issue that's directly connected to the heavenly father. Because they need to hear, I love you. I wanted to hear that from my dad. Most of the time, my sister and I did what we would call jokingly as kids growing up, to love. Dad, I love you. And then you'd want to hear back what? I love you too. We would jokingly call that I do love. You want to hear it first, but usually you have to say it. And usually you're saying it, maybe not because you mean it, but because you want to hear it, right? That's why I jokingly put my hand in my ear. I love you. I love you too. So we wanted to hear that. I wanted to hear that. Now notice the father says, my beloved son. The father spoke of his love for his son, and it was verbal. I talked to families, even ones that have gone into and through here, where the one situation was a daughter and the mom. They both were attending the fellowship here for some time. I sat with the daughter was in tears streaming down her face. And then dealing with the same issue, the same Bible verse, the same passage, the same principle, where the daughter's like, I want to hear that my mom loves me. And then we're sitting like in the same space. She's like 2 feet this way, 3 feet this way, you know. She needs to hear. And the mom's like, oh, you know that I love you. It's like, but I don't. And she says it that way, kind of like a scoffing thing. And then, because the daughter wanted to hear and to see the eye contact and that emotion, positive emotion, not just, you didn't get it right, you're not doing anything right. That's negative emotion, but. And then seeing the daughter just cry more and then turn away and then have to get up and walk away because she couldn't handle it. And you realize that's someone that has massive healing to do. And the mom made it worse. And I sit there and go, oh, Lord. So this is something that we need to convey and to communicate to our children. Amen. The Heavenly Father spoke of his love for his son. It was verbal. It wasn't, you know it. The Father said it, not just for Jesus, but guess for who to hear? You. Please understand that. It's not like son's like, I'm really going to do bad after this baptism thing and this whole ministry thing and dying on the cross if you don't say it, Father. I really need that. Yes, it's good. But the son knew from eternity past that the Father had this love for him. He wrote this down for you, guys. So that you won't have the excuse, well, they know. No, the Father showed up. That's why you need to show up at your special events for your children. He said it. It was verbal. It was audible. They got to hear it. Okay? And some of us would talk about PDA. What does that mean? Public display of affection. Like, oh, I'll hug you in private, Mom, but not, come on, not here. So I tell my kids growing up, like, I'm always going to hug you. Come here. Keep your kids close. So the son knew the father's love for him. And he says, in whom I'm well pleased. So the father communicated that he was pleased with his son. Approval. In the world, what's so crazy, so wacky crazy, is that we grow up in American society when this isn't dealt with. And virtually every family I've ever talked to, Christian or non-Christian, non-Christians, forget it. They're just messed up. They're whacked out on this. But even Christians that have been Christians a while, even serving God, giving, serving, everything as Christians, we need to address this. In the world, they know this exists. This is why this whole thing of affirmation is big. I do a lot of YouTube videos and all. I see people like, I'm going to give you your daily affirmation. Why does that work for a lot of people?
You're beautiful. You love you. Look in the mirror. Look at this video. You're beautiful. I love you. Everybody loves you. Now go out and rock the world. And people are like, yes, I can get it.
But what is it addressing and not healing? What we're talking about here. The need for approval. Do you know, and I do like tons of videos. What's kind of crazy is I look and there's like tens of thousands of people clicking likes on all these videos I've been doing. Not a single one I don't think I've ever asked, like, click like. And you guys have probably watched videos like, click like, subscribe, share. Any of you guys see that in videos? We're so, we are so conditioned to do that. I've discovered that even doing these videos that there's a bunch of people. I'm like, look at this, honey. I showed my wife, Susan. I never asked for people to click like. And yet, through our conditioning, we all click that. Never even once asked for that. And there's like tens of thousands of likes on like tons of videos I've done. I just thought, that's kind of funny. You don't even have to ask for it. We're so conditioned in society. What I'm getting at is you need to also know this. Say if there's someone out there that's going to do these types of videos or get out there and do ministry. That sometimes we do it for the likes of the world, and yet what we really need is healing from God. I see it all the time in that industry. Just be careful of that. So, and I'm going to have to cut this short and have a time to just go into prayer in just a bit. But you and I, each and every one of us, we have a need to belong. We have a need for love. We have a need for approval. And praise God, the thing about Jesus Christ and the body of Christ, the church, is that this is where there's healing. You do come into a new family. It doesn't matter if you grew up like how I did with a messed up family. You come in and you get saved through Jesus Christ and you're adopted by the Heavenly Father. Now he's your father. Satan's no longer your father. But you have to confess and repent from your sins. And now God is your father, or else Satan's your father. And now as you come to the Heavenly Father, he adopts you into this new family. I'm sorry, it's getting kind of, you guys kind of hot now? It's strange how that is. Thank you, Andy. Susan, can we come up if you're up there? And we can start to get set up for a time of worship. Sorry, Andy. He's usher, so it comes with the territory. So each and every one of us has that need to belong. And with the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, you get that healed. I just want to show you what my Heavenly Father showed me. And what I've shown, I've shared this, it must have been now with hundreds of people, it is spot on. And I praise God that he showed me where I have healed. And remember, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Perhaps you need that healing. Most likely, yes. And if so, I want to just ask you to come forward and be prayed for. We're going to have a time to worship, but if you need healing, my guess is a whole bunch of you that will need prayer for that. And we can pray for one another. But maybe you're at that place where you feel, well, it's not on anymore, I'll just share with you, where you feel that you need that sense of belonging and you're not going to get that healing from your earthly dad. My mom passed away in 1986 and my dad passed away some years ago. So I can't go back to that time. But your Heavenly Father can still heal you. He's healed me. I don't know how he's done it. He gave me clarity of mind. My mind was messed up. He healed me. He showed me exactly what it is and where it is so that I can articulate and communicate it so you can see again. You can see the truth in God's word of truth. You can get clarity on perhaps what he wants to help you and heal you in, and that you could have that closure so that you can grow. If you don't heal, you're not going to spiritually grow to become all that God wants for your life. I can assure you that. I've seen that so many times. So if you're there and you have a need for prayer, as we pray or as we worship, I just want to ask you to come forward. Can we all stand here? We're going to get set up for time of worship. And if you want prayer for that, you can come forward. We've got oil here. We want to anoint you with oil. But through Jesus Christ, you could belong to the Heavenly Father, no matter what your earthly father, earthly parents had told you. He says he loves you, right? God so loved the world. Why do you think the devil is trying to break up marriages and families? Because if he messes with your family or he prevents your parents from showing up and telling you that they love you, it's going to be very tough for you to realize the Heavenly Father loves you. Make sense? So it prevents so many people from getting saved, and the devil is just laughing. That's John 3:16. God so loved the world. So God wants you to be part of his family. Are we ready? So I'm going to close with a word of prayer. And if any of you, again, if any of you want prayer for that or maybe for something else, I'm going to ask you to come forward and we can simply pray for you. We've got oil. We can anoint you with oil. And if anybody else wants to pray for others as well, I want you to come forward and help us to pray, because we just want to address this with our family, the church family here. Amen? All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for what you show us, that there are gifts of healings, supernatural, spiritual gifts of healings. You could do physical healings with us. You could do physical healings through us as we pray for one another. But we also know that there are emotional healings of the heart that need to be tended to. You died for Jesus. You were whipped with the Roman whip. Because the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. And there's a healing that can occur because you took the pain. I don't know how it works. I just know that many times you take away, you heal our physical things that need healing, as well as especially all of us need the emotional healing of the heart. We need the spiritual healing. We need the mental healing, where you renew our minds. Help us, God. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Use this time as a holy moment that you simply would do the healing that we all so desperately need. And help us to be the body of Christ, where we could pray for each other. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.